Say amen. Amen to that. I was was sitting down for her coming up. I was thinking in my mind, I thought I'd just tell her she should sing two songs. she went, psst, can I sing two songs? So you had the mind of the Lord, I guess, sister, both of us. Amen. And I really like that song. So, Sister Vicki said something the other day, and I was telling a little something that happened to me here recently, and some probably know, some probably don't know, but I've been having a lot of back pain for quite a long time, and just in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks in December, it had really taken a turn for really bad, enough where I was thinking, okay, you know, this is not going to be good. And I wasn't really thinking about it during our watch night service or that New Year's Eve service. I wasn't thinking about myself. But when Brother John was preaching about healing and Brother Tim, something special about, do you want to be healed? And I was thinking about the different ones in church that needed healing, you know. And I may have thought about, yeah, me too, you know, but it wasn't on my mind. I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't really pulling for it. But, you know, at the end of service, before I ever came up, you know, when the musicians came up and started playing, as soon as they did, I just, you know, I can't describe it. And I didn't really think anything like, okay, the Lord just healed me. I just was so overwhelmed with His presence. And several days, probably a week later, I got to looking back and I thought, you know what? I'm not having this back pain anymore. And I haven't.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. I haven't. So, and I appreciate that, you know. So It's really strange. You read in the Bible where God delivered the children of Israel, and then next thing you know, they're in another battle and they're shaken. And we're the same way. I've had the Lord touch me and do things like that. And then you go, you know, there's battles you go through. You just go through, and you have to just press on through those battles. And brother, sister, if you stay with the Lord and stay with His Word, the time will come when that battle will be gone, and you'll come out on the other side rejoicing. Yeah. And sometimes it's always in His time, yeah. Right? And so I just when she said, "Do I hear a testimony coming on?" And I mentioned that the other day, and I thought, I really need to. I need to give that. And so I wanted to do that and just let you know that, hey, God's still on the throne. Amen. He's working among this body, and just keep pressing on, and He will set you free from anything and everything that's hindering you.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just stand. Brother Daniel's going to minister the word of the Lord tonight, and so we want to stand. We'll sing. I love Him.
Of the Lord. You know, scripture says where two or three are gathered, He'll be in our midst. And you know, a lot of times I'll be praising the Lord in my vehicle and there ain't nobody else there but me. But we do it anyway.
Amen.
You know, and He comes. He comes where He's welcome. And I'm thankful for that. I want to speak to you on a little thought this evening on understanding the battle. I think my hand has got it all set up for us here. And I tell you what, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to say God bless you to everybody that's at home not feeling well. We just believe that you'll be well very soon. We know that God is still a healer. He's still a provider. He's still a need meter. And I'm just thankful. So
amen.
Let's go to James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your grace that you put into our life tonight, Lord. And Lord, for you calling us to your word and giving us an ear to hear, Lord, giving us a representation on the other side, Lord, that can receive the word, Lord. And Lord God, we're striving for that with all that we are within us. We ask you to lay every weight so easily beset us, any sin that easily beset us, and focus on this race that you've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I'm going to give you a little quote here, but just a little bit before it is, just before this quote is where Brother Brennan was talking about Brother Jack Cole. He had prayed for a boy, and they took the crutches away from the boy and told him to go ahead and walk across this platform, and the boy did. He couldn't walk without the crutches. They took the crutches from him. He walked across the platform, and then he got to his mama, and he fell. And they actually took him to court for it, the parents did, and tried to say that he harmed this boy because God don't do this. And the judge actually, in the court, the judge said, I want to ask you that. He said, you show me in the Bible of how that someone can be healed and then lose their healing when they get away from it. And one of the brothers stepped up and he said, but Your Honor, I would like to testify if I could. He said, speak on. He said, there was a time that there was a storm in the ocean. He said, and there was a man by the name of, they saw Jesus walking on the water in the midst of this storm. And there was a man by the name of Peter and said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come that I can walk. And he said, and Peter actually walked on water. He said, but as Peter got close to him, Peter got to look at the circumstances, and Peter's faith fell, and he began to sink. And the judge said, case dismissed. You know, I love that, how that was actually a testimony in this hour, how the Word of God was literally put on trial of saying, is the Word true or is it not? And so many times somebody was healed, but then they would die of the same sickness later on. But what it is by faith. You are healed by faith. And this isn't on my notes, but just real quickly, Brother Ben talked about how even the Beatles, okay? Even the Beatles, but the people saw the Beatles and rose up out of their wheelchair and then walked by faith. You talk about something, seeing somebody have such a faith when they saw the Beatles. Now let me tell you, how righteous are the Beatles? The Beatles ain't righteous. It was their faith that healed them. Faith that caused that healing. But the Beatles can't save them.
Right.
That's right. But it's by faith, brother and sister. And so a lot of times when you're sick, you can't go by how you feel. It's by faith. God's word says, by His stripes, I'm healed. And I claim that promise. Right. Amen. So that right before this quote, that is what happened when Jack Cole was put on trial for this. And let's go to the rest of the quote, Hannah. And next time I'll try to make these a little bigger, maybe for everyone to see. So I thought maybe on a Wednesday night, maybe it'll help people to get a little more involved in the service. And because I know sometimes you get tired and you got a flesh. So we'll pray you get something out of it. We need Holy Spirit leadership, not intellectual men. Saul, the son of Kish, was then made captain over the people, and he taken 2,000 men, and Jonathan taken 1,000. And Jonathan went down to a garrison and smote a bunch of Amorites. And when he had smote them, Saul sounded a trumpet and said, you see what Saul has done? He began to get puffed up. Just as soon as a man gets to some great doctor of divinity or gets a little something behind his name, he becomes more or less a know-it-all. God's men are humble men. God's people are humble people. When you see someone who says that they have received the Holy Spirit and begins to separate themselves, seemingly not having the faith, going about trying to be something that they're not, just remember, they haven't received the Lord Jesus. Amen. And when we find that the enemy set in and he was going to come into a little bunch of God's people and was going to pluck out the right eye of every man, that's what the enemy tries to do, is pluck out both eyes if he can, catch this, so that people cannot see what they're doing. That's what Satan tries to do today to every Christian, pluck out his spiritual eye that he can only follow the intellectual sense of things and not the sense of the Holy Spirit leading him. So then when they did that, when the great defeat came, then Saul cut up two great ox and sent them to all the people. And I wish you would notice here, when Saul sent these pieces of ox to all of Israel, he said, catch this, let every man that will not follow Samuel and Saul, let him, his ox, be as this. You see how deceitful he tried to represent himself with the man of God? How unchristian it was, the fear of the people was because of Samuel. But Saul got them all to follow him because the people feared Samuel. Right. Let them come after Samuel and Saul. How many times today, let me turn this up here. How many times today have we heard it? We are the great church. We are the church of Christ. We are the church of God. We are so and so. It makes the people get a fear and think that that really is where God's working. And they don't want the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They'd rather follow men like that because they like to live their own individual life. They like to believe what they want to believe. Do you see? The Holy Spirit is our judge. God never gives us a pope or a bishop or anybody to be a judge. The Holy Spirit, the person of God in the form of the Holy Spirit, is our judge and our God. You say amen. These people wanted a king. And Samuel warned them about it. And he said, you know, God has got a provided way. And I'm just going to, I know you know the story, but let's give a little backlight on it. Amen. He told the people, he said, God's got a provided way where God will meet your needs. And if you get this king, he said, then you're going to have to pay all this extra. Your sons are going to have to work the farm. You're going to have to do all these things. I said, nevertheless, we want a king. Right. We want to be able to have somebody that will fight our battles. And that way we can hide under the blanket of it that, hey, I am under King so-and-so. I'm under King Saul. And a lot of people today, they say that they believe the message that there was a seventh angel, and there was a seventh angel. I believe we know who he was. He was vindicated, and his accuracy on the word is what made him a prophet. And to me, it was not the pictures of the cloud, of the pillar of fire. Those things did not appeal to me. They were okay, but I was, maybe it's my age or what it was of the generation I come in. But when I see pictures and stuff like that, that does not attract me, because in my mindset is there's so much fake stuff out there, anybody can fake that. That would do absolutely nothing for me. If I never saw a picture of a pillar of fire, if I never saw a picture of a cloud, it would have no effect to me. It's okay to have those things, but the thing that spoke to my heart was I had something inside me when I heard that voice. I heard something that I was looking for, and I didn't even know it. Right. There was something when I heard it. It was a deep call to the deep. There was something inside me that quickened and said, that's right. That's true. I've been looking for this and didn't even realize it. But, you know, it was a quickening. And we have over 1,100 tapes of recordings in poor English grammar. What is it that's attracting people to follow this? It's not the intellects of Brother Branham. It's not the glamour of all the things. There is a voice. There's something in that voice. It's a voice within a voice that spoke to our heart, and it's what calls us to move forward. And you know what? It grieves my heart so much when I see people that were in the same age that I was already at. And I know where I was at when I was in their age, and I was hearing this voice, and I was hearing this message. There was a fire inside of me. And praise God, there's still a fire inside me. And everything within me, it wants me to cry out and say, where is the fire? Where is the desperation in people? You know, I didn't have to have someone beg me to come to church. I didn't have to have someone beg me to spend prayer. I didn't have to have someone beg me to get the tapes, to listen to tapes. No, nobody else did it. I would do it by myself. And guess what? I did. Amen. I listened to tapes by myself. I studied by myself as a young single man. I remember I was in high school and I was in excellent shape. There was girls all around. Teachers would try to get me with girls. I said, absolutely not. When I committed my heart to God, I said, no, I've got a fire inside me. And I'm going to feed this fire with the word. And I believe God will send me a wife that will love this word just as much as I do. And he did. But you know what? There's something inside me when I see people and I ask myself, where in the world is the desperation? Because you know what? There's going to be a rapture morning, and excuses will be nowhere. Right. I'm not talking about people being sick. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking on a daily basis, brother and sister. There should be a passion. There should be a fire where people want to, where they've been talking to God.
Right.
Let me tell you something. You get around somebody you very much, you talk like them. A man will speak from the abundance of his heart. Whenever you are with somebody a few minutes, you will start to talk about what you've been talking about. And brother and sister, I want to ask us to all individually search our heart and say, truly, what is the abundance of my heart?
Right.
What do I speak about? We're talking about the scripture. I've talked about Saul said he put the fear, everybody feared Samuel. Is that right? Samuel was a prophet of God that was vindicated. He had the word of the hour. God proved, I am with this man. And Saul took liberty of that. Saul knew the people feared Samuel. And that's why whenever he did that, he said, let everybody fear Saul and Samuel. He put that fear because he knew the people wouldn't fear him, but he said, I know they fear Samuel. And how many people that they say, fear me and Brother Branham?
Yeah.
Brother Branham was the messenger of the hour, the prophet of the hour, had the vindication, and they're using that same tie post. And people, and many times in churches, even in message churches, they hold people by fear.
Right.
Because they will show something. They'll preach it and people don't start really responding. Then they'll pull out Brother Branham. But this is the vindicated prophet of Brother Branham because they're using the fear of Brother Branham. Brothers, and then they'll preach something so high people can't catch it and they're so afraid. They're like, oh, it must be me. This message is simple, brothers and sisters. Is that right, Brother Tony?
Amen.
This message is simple. It's never been made to be complicated. And the devil will try to make you think it's complicated. Let me tell you something. It is not. Faith is simple. When they applied the blood on Goshen, what did God tell them to do to apply that blood with? What did he say? Hyssop. And what is hyssop? It's a common weed.
Right.
It's a common faith. Faith is so simple that people try to make it more complicated. Brother and sister, it is not meant to be complicated. This message was not sent to make it more complicated, where people are so afraid to move anything. It brought liberty. Is that right? And even people, not just ministry, but people themselves that follow this message, they'll say, fear me and Samuel, because me and Brother Brennan, because I'm a message believer. I've got the quotes. How much vindication did Saul have that he had Samuel? And we know Brother Branham was just a man. He was a gift that God used. But he had a message, and our life should be vindicating if we're following this message.
That's right.
It's exactly right. They shouldn't have to. You should never have to tell. And I've said this many times. You should never have to say you're a Christian. Your life should speak that. I can't tell you how many times I'll be joined a vehicle, and in the midst of doing that vehicle, they'll say, how long have you been preaching? I'll be shown a vehicle, and they'll begin to say, I want that walk like you've got. I ain't saying a thing about nothing about being a Christian. I'm just being who I am. And our fruits should bear what we are.
Right.
Amen. I've got a long way to go, so I better quit right here. This voice that I heard, it answered the questions that I had in my heart. And there's so many believers. You can talk to believers all around the world and they say the exact same thing. It answered questions. Amen. And I want to be clear tonight that I believe in a fivefold ministry. I believe it. So when I talk about these things, I'm not bashing not going to a fivefold ministry. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we ain't careful. We'll have the mindset of a denomination church. We may not be going to denomination church, but our mindset's a denomination church where I'm fitting the pews just and everything, so I'm okay.
Right.
That's exactly what, that's why they wanted a king, is so they could hide under, I could just do my quota and that's it, and I'm okay, I'm saved. Here to tell you something, it's an individual walk, and we need Holy Spirit leadership. Because if we got Holy Spirit leadership on a daily basis, brothers and sisters, there'll be a lot of the nonsense battles that people are fighting they wouldn't even be fighting on.
That's right.
But we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. If that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, we you know what? If the denomination church, just in what they got, if they would just walk in obedience to what they know, you look at how much of a holy church it would be and how victorious they would be just on what they got. And you take the message of the hour of what we've got, if we will walk in what we've got and be led by the Spirit in what we're doing, I'm here to tell you, holiness would be here.
Amen.
Holiness would be here. Victory would be here. I'm not saying people are holy, but brothers and sisters, search your hearts tonight. Search it, and let me ask you, how much are you really led by the Spirit? How much is the devil tried creeping in? I preach this many times and I believe it. Brother Brown preached it. Brother Tony preached it. Every minister I know, a true, if I was saved, we got to watch that, because that holiness. out here, it'll take care of the outside.
That's right.
My goodness.
Amen.
Let's go to this other quote, Hannah. You know the understanding, Brother Brim says, you know understanding gets us, I'm sorry, you know misunderstanding gets us into a lot of trouble. Many times that people say things that they repeat after somebody else where they misunderstood them. That gets a person in trouble. I believe it would be good for us if we just wait till we understood what we was talking about. Don't you think so? I know it would be for me. Very good for me to find out first and then say it. But we're always seem to be misunderstood. This message was given, and how many times has ministers taken a slant of what Brother Brennan said and misunderstood it and go and just preaching it, and it's so far off the base of what he said. Let's go to the next one, Anna. Sometimes in preaching, every minister is misunderstood one way or the other. Many times people take something that you say just kind of, it leans a little bit to them, so they'll say it that way, and then the next one gets it, and it's leaning a little bit more. First thing you know, it's plumb out of cater. People that will have a—I don't know why I'm going down this road, but it just—I feel very burned inside my heart of this. Okay, who was it that Brother Brennan preached on more than anybody else when he was here on earth in vindication ministry? And he was doing that because they put heavy burdens upon people and all these different things, but they missed Jesus Christ in their midst right then. And brother and sister, around this message, and I go to Honduras and Nicaragua, I see it so terrible, and it's from ministers from America that will go over there with good intentions and taking a slant from the message, a slant of what they've heard, and yet it's so far off base of what he said, they've got perversion. Well, the whole time we've got a genuine message of the hour. We got to make sure that we don't listen for our slant on the message so we can hear it the way we want to hear it,
right,
to get us by something. Because
right.
I'm here to tell you, if you go back, you can hear something a minister says, and if you have the wrong mindset and you hear what he's saying, you're going to hear it completely wrong from the way he was saying it.
That's right.
You ever drunk orange juice and then ate a bowl of cereal? You eat a bowl of cereal and it's good. You drink orange juice and then eat a bowl of cereal, it's the worst thing you'll ever eat because it tainted it. And here, listen to what I'm talking about. Stinky thinking a lot of time, brother and sister, just like eating that orange, drinking that orange juice, and then you go eat the bowl of cereal and it's so nasty and everything you taste is nasty, but it has nothing to do with the cereal. It's
right.
What you're eating before.
Right.
And brother and sister, that's exactly why stinky thinking happens, is because if we allow it, stinky thinking will get in this mind, and you will think people saying all kinds of chaos, different stuff. And then whenever the word is trying to be given to you, it's tainted. That's why it's so important we keep our minds clear.
Amen.
Paul said, think on these things, on holy things, on righteous things, on testimonies, on beautiful songs. Why? Because this is your battle. The devil will come against you like a flood, and what he'll try to do is taint your taste for the word of God. And you get something, you can take a person that just drank the orange juice and then ate that bowl of cereal. They'll never eat cereal for a long time because they'll think it was a cereal the whole time. And all it was the orange juice tainted it. And that's exactly the way it is. A lot of times people will be around a Christian that's supposed to be a Christian, someone that's supposed to be a believer. They'll get around them and then they'll hear that word and they are so tainted by the experience that they felt with what was supposed to be a message believer. They get so tainted, and then when they hear the word, they can't even taste the word because of that stinky attitude and demeanor. Well, catch up what I'm saying? Brother, sister, I want to be, when someone gets around me, I want it to be a step up whenever they get to the message. It's like, oh my gosh, the life that I saw in Brother Daniel, this is even better. But both times, it's the way we conduct ourselves. We run the experience when someone comes to the word. Amen. The word is right. I'm going to tell you, this word will do what it's supposed to do, but it's got to be put in the right way with the right mindset.
Amen.
You can go with a stinky attitude in the service, and you won't get nothing out of that service. But if you go there focused with a mindset, I am here to meet the Lord, and I have been walking under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know what? A lot of times on Sunday mornings, my wife and I are usually a few minutes late. It's not because we're lagging around. It's because we know the the saints are coming to our house, and there's a lot of preparation that we have to do with the house. What kind of people behind the scenes? Stuff that happens behind the scenes you don't know about. But even in the midst of that, we've got music playing. We're preparing our mindset. We're getting ready for the service. Is that right? We're preparing. Why? Because we are doing our part. And then when we get to service, we're already in halfway jog mode because we're ready to have service. But listen to me. If you're going to church every day, you've got everything in the world on your mind and you ain't focusing on service, you go there, you may as well be a wet blanket.
That's right.
I know that hurts, but it's the truth. You know, whenever you go to service and you don't pull and you don't worship and you just sit there, and then whenever you say, I don't feel a thing, I ain't got nothing, your attitude is killing the service. Your attitude is killing the service for yourself. I'm not saying don't come to service. I'm saying get rid of the stinky attitude.
Right.
You know, Brother Branham talked about a hotbed plant, how you have to baby that hotbed plant all the time. You have to pick it up all the time, prime it up all the time. Listen to me. Whenever you eat on the vitamins of this word, it will take care of the sicknesses. It will take care of a lot of the battles. A lot of times the battles people are fighting is because they're not eating the word. You eat this word, it will, the sheep, you should go to sheep that's eating food. One of the number one things you need to do for that sheep to overcome battles, you need to feed him. He's got to eat and he's got to live by the still waters. If you allow yourself to live in drama all the time,
right,
you're going to drive that Holy Spirit away.
Right.
Arguing, fussing, fighting, all the stewing and nonsense that happens, you do that and keep allowing that happen, that Holy Spirit will leave and go sit on a branch and wait for you to make things right. But you make it right, he'll come back. Brother and sister, we have been called to something so much better than that.
Right.
You look at that. When somebody at a restaurant sees the attitude towards somebody because their food is late or something like that, those are just little bitty things. But they're expressing something that's wrong on the inside. The fruit of the Spirit. You want deep stuff? Let's get that fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, brotherly kindness. Where somebody can take a bite out of the fruit out of my life and want what I have.
Amen.
Brother and sister, just that alone in a marriage will make marriage so much sweeter.
Amen.
I'm not saying you won't ever have little disagreements in marriage. You're going to. I've been married 20 years. But you don't let them disagreements keep going. You nip in the bud. You hug each other and you make it right. You hold on to one another.
Amen.
Parents and fathers, being children and mothers and daughters and sons and daughters, same way. Don't let that stuff stay, because I'm telling you what, I hate when I hear people that are reminiscing over something that happened a long time ago, because they'll start talking about it. Because guess what happens? The story changes. That snake that was this big will be this big. The fish that was this big is this big. And the demeanor changes, and this changes, and this changes. And you'll have that whole story so out of cater, and you're bringing up stuff that has absolutely no edification at all.
Mm-hmm.
Put the past behind you and leave it there. Whenever you say, God forgive me, and you move forward, leave it behind you and don't bring it up on your brother and sister when they repent of it. Lay it under the blood and leave it there and walk off.
Amen.
Because I'm going to ask yourself, when you do something wrong and you repent of it, do you want to be forgiven?
Right.
Simple scriptures, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If we would live by that one scripture,
right,
if you just treat other people the way you want them to treat you,
right,
I'm telling you what, this life, this church, everyone's marriage, everyone's relationship with their kids, it'll be so much better. Treat your wife the way you want to be treated.
Amen.
If my wife saw me trying to dress and act in some certain way and she don't like it, guess what? I'm going to stop doing that. Why? Because if I felt that way about her, if she was wearing something I didn't want her to wear, you know what? I would want her to stop wearing it. I don't care how she feels about it. If it offends me, I want her to stop doing it, and I'm going to do the same thing for her.
Amen.
Say amen. Because that's exactly the way it is with Christ and the church. There's things in the scriptures where he says, don't do it. I hate it. I don't want you to do that thing. It don't matter how you feel about it. What's the word saying about it?
Amen.
Because I don't want to offend him. That's the mindset of today. They want to go by what offends me. I want to go by what feels good about me. But a relationship is not about just about what makes you feel good. It's living for one another. It's the church living for Christ. And Christ living in his people.
Amen.
Amen. It's a love. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with his word.
Amen.
Not a bondage. It's not a heavy load on top of my head. It's not walking by laws and all this nonsense. It is a relationship and it is freedom.
Amen.
And because we are walking in that relationship, because we're walking walking in that mindset. Then when the devil sticks his head up, I'm in perfect unity with my Lord, and the Word and His Holy Spirit will come to me just as David, whenever he come in the midst of it and fighting Goliath. He didn't have to go back and say, wait a minute, I've got to repent for all this stuff first. No, David was feeding those sheep when they needed to be fed. David was being led by the Lord. And you know what his being led by the Lord was? He obeyed his father. Amen. He said, David, take the raisin cakes and go to your brothers.
Right.
He obeyed his father. And he was a lot more comfortable sitting there taking care of the sheep. But he said, get up, David. Take the raisin cakes over there. David, in the midst of that, David, in obedience to God, David was a man after God's own heart. Why? He was quick to repent. But when David went there, he heard that stinky old Goliath, 10 foot tall, big guy, man of battles, and he said, who will fight me? And none of these cowards would go fight him. These people that claim to be the church of the living God. And here was Goliath defying the army of the living God. But David had something inside him. He says, no, I will go fight this guy. We need some more Davids that will rise up and fight Goliath. Whenever Goliath sticks his head up and tries to attack your children, tries to attack your marriage, tries to attack your church, we need some Davids that say, you know what? I've been walking with God. And when I was walking with God all at home, Monday through Friday, there was a bear that rose up. I killed the bear. I killed the lion by the Spirit of the Lord. And the same God that delivered them for me in my private life will slay this devil.
Amen.
But you know what? A lot of times people have a Goliath right in front of them, but they're too afraid to fight him.
Amen.
Why? Are you afraid that God won't answer your prayer? Are you afraid God won't stand with you? Where are the Davids at? You say, amen. One Goliath has been trying to trample on you. You know what, though? That devil would try to put a mindset on me and put a fear on me that he's going to take my children away and they go to the world. When my oldest boy went to college, that devil just mounted fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. But you know what? I know. I go and I said, Lord, you give me the lion, you give me the bear. There was a time when my boy Elijah had the eczema all over his face, and it looked absolutely impossible. I was laid off my job. It was impossible. There was no way for me to get this victory. I'm here to tell you something. God healed my boy. God met my needs. God gave me the job back. My Hannah had trouble walking because her feet were messed up and still struggling through my financial stress and doing all this different thing. God delivered it. God healed my Hannah. That was my lion. It was a bear.
Right.
And the same God that met my needs when I had no money, I had no idea how I'm going to meet this need. The same God coming right in my midst when it felt like the winds were right upon me and it's going to crush me. I stood with the Word and I said, I believe God's going to heal them. And you know what I did? Whenever I didn't have money on a Wednesday night when Elijah needed me healed, guess what I did? I went to church. And I worshiped God, even though I didn't feel like it, even though I didn't have the money for it, even though I didn't have that. And I'm not talking about me, about people missing church, about being sick. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there was a desperation. Well, crushing on me, and whenever it comes crushed on you so bad, and all you've got is the Word. All you've got is a promise.
Right.
And that's all you've got to lean on. Stand. When all you can do is stand, stand. With your loins girt, and you've got the helmet of salvation on, and you're thinking, the brother, sister, we need some people to put the helmet of salvation on. When you put that helmet of salvation on, that is, you are seeking your calling and election short. You know, I am a son of God. God called me to this Word. I am saved by grace. God, I thank you for healing me. God, I thank you for providing for me. God, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister. Because you know what? You got that helmet of salvation on, you can't look down on anybody. You got that helmet of salvation. You're saying, oh God, I believe your Word. I believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm casting down every imagination that exalts itself against you. I've got my helmet on. I've got my breastplate of righteousness. What is that? That's whenever you do something wrong, you say, God, forgive me.
And then it's righteousness. What is it that brings righteousness in a church? It's when you will confess your faults when you make a mistake. Oh, God, forgive me. That devil threw a dart at him. He was going to kill me. And he said, oh, God, forgive me. And that breastplate of righteousness. He will fight for you. And brother and sister, we've got the sword of the word. I hate it when I see somebody just being on defense. I can't stand it. You want to win the game, it's not just by defense, it's offense. You know what? If you want to win the football game, it ain't just stopping them from getting a touchdown. Guess what? You've got to get a touchdown. You've got to have something inside you where you're killing the devil. You're not just fighting, oh God. Oh God, the devil's beat me up. Oh, my faith, oh, my faith. No. Take that sword and walk that devil. Amen. Take that word and go against that devil. Amen. By his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. Amen. If you've got enough faith for yourself, you've got enough faith for your children. Amen. If you've got enough faith to be saved, you've got enough faith to be healed. Amen. You know what? It's time people will take that sword and become on the offense and start fighting that devil. How do I know it, Brother Daniel? When you come to church, God's got a provided way to meet the needs of the church. That's your fivefold ministry. God will speak to the preacher. God will do all these things. But if you're using your sword, when you come to service with your helmet of salvation on, you've got your breastplate to the best of your ability. You're walking in this word. And when you make them say, oh, God, forgive me, that breastplate just shining. And when you come to service and that word is being preached to you, do exactly like the scripture I read in the very beginning of it. Go to the first scripture again. I ain't gonna have time for all this. First, these quotes I want to give. All the way to the beginning. First scripture. Right there. Go back. Listen to these words again. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because if you're not taking the word that's preached to you and applying it to your life, you are deceiving yourself.
Right.
And as the scripture says, receive the word with meekness. When the word is given to you, oh God, help me receive this the way you want me to receive this. Change my stinky thinking and help me receive the word the way you want me to receive it. Listen to me. When my kids were little and there were certain things they wanted to do, that I said no. And they can say all they want. I don't feel like it's wrong. I can do this. I will let them get by with it for a little while. But guess what's going to happen? I'm going to whip their hind end. You know why? Because I know more about the situation than they do. I'm their parent. I'm leading them. And listen to me. Love is corrective.
Amen.
And we live in a world where they don't want correction.
Right.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer, hello, not a forgetful hearer, it's real easy. And as soon as you get out those doors, you forget about everything you heard. We don't want to be a forgetful hearer. God, if you're giving me this word and it's you, I don't want it to be the man, Brother Tony. I don't want to be the man, Brother Daniel. I don't want to be the man, Brother Jonathan Goff or Ben Norod or Ben Beard or whoever it may be. I don't want the man. I want that word.
Amen.
And it don't need, it does not need our interpretation to it. If we will walk with that word, look what it says, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. How many of you want to be blessed?
Amen.
I want my marriage to be blessed. I want my church to be blessed. I want my pastor to be blessed. I want my neighbor to be blessed. I didn't put the scripture on here. But scripture talks about how to deal with your neighbor and how to be patient and how you want your neighbor to be blessed. Why would you not want your neighbor to be blessed? Why would you want to be blessed? Because when your neighbor's blessed, it eliminates a lot of the nonsense in your life. His apple tree will hang over your fence and you get some of his apples.
Amen. If you've got a neighbor that's blessed, catch this. Let's let this sink in. What's the benefit of having your neighbor being blessed? When your neighbor is blessed, every interaction you have with him, guess what? It's going to be a blessing. When you've got a neighbor that's blessed, you've got a neighbor that's around you, and it's a blessing. We got a neighbor beside us, they're a blessing. They brought us a Christmas card. Now, God forgive them. A lot of people will blast them to hell for that, but you know, we're not in. We said thank you. They gave us a card, and we said thank you. They gave us their phone number. They gave us their email address, and they said, if you need anything, you let us know. I want them to be blessed. Now, I didn't mean that in an arrogant way the way I said that. And we're talking about they blast people to hell for doing that. I think there is a way and a balance. I believe Brother Tony preaches that. There is a balance in the way you handle people. You can't expect somebody out there to explain, to understand what we believe whenever they haven't the opportunity to be given it. In the way we treat people, people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen. It's our attitude and our demeanor, because we do not want to be that stinky orange juice before the cereal. I want my neighbors to be blessed. Now, I had some boys here not too long ago that were out in front of our house in the middle of the night. They had no business of being there. And I could feel in their intentions. They had no intentions of being there. I had two ways I could handle that. I could have walked out there and said, you get off my property right now. Get out of here. Get down the street. I don't want to see you again. Or I could have walked out there and said, hey, guys, how can I help you? Can I help you find something? Well, we're not here from here. We're from Texas. We're over here. We're just, and I could tell immediately they were there for real good. I could have went out there and just blasted them off that, and guess what would have happened? They would probably come back and vandalize my house. They would probably come back and bring harm. Agree with your adversaries quickly. And whenever you do it, you know, football, whenever you're doing the defense, you keep your hands, your fingers up, and you're pushing like this. Is that right, Malachi? Because guess what happens whenever you're pulling like this? That's called holding. And you're going to get penalized. And when you're dealing with opposition, keep your hands up with humility. And when you're dealing with the opposition, deal with it smoothly and quickly. And you're not bringing that attention back to you. And those boys will have to testify one day, I treated them right. The way we treat people, a lot of times we bring our own problems on ourselves. A lot of times it's our attitude.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I've said this here a while back, and I'm kind of close. But we had the dinner at our house, the fire and all the stuff. And I made an announcement. I said, guys, please, I just want to say one thing. I want you to talk. I want you to have a good time. But please, careful on the noise, because I have good neighbors, a good relationship with my neighbors, and I want to keep it that way. You know, you can be with family of the church. We did good. I am not blessing that. I'm showing an example, and I have no idea why, but with your neighbors, the way we treat our neighbors, brothers and sisters, it will affect the blessing on our life. And if you can treat our neighbors at home that are unbelievers, how much better should we treat our neighbors inside church?
Right.
We should be investing in one another, because we want our neighbor to be blessed. People are sick tonight. I want them to be healed.
Amen.
I want them to be blessed. Because you know what? Whenever you don't feel good, it sure feels good to know someone's praying for you.
Amen.
Right. It sure feels good to know someone cares about you. It sure feels good whenever you are under an oppression. And sometimes, I've been married 20 years. That's not nothing compared to Brother Tony. You've been married a long time. In my little 20 years that we've been married, There's been times when I felt discouraged. As a man, I felt discouraged. I felt beat down. I felt like, I don't know, I worked myself to the bone, trying to meet needs, trying to do all that I can do, and I get home and I don't feel like I can hardly take one step, put it in front of the other. And you know what happened? My family would come together. My wife would have my sweet tea made. My Hannah would start talking. I remember the other talking and said, "Did you work hard today?" And my Hannah said, "Daddy always works hard." My wife started talking to me and said, "He always said he's the best looking." I said, "Yeah, I got him." And you know, my boys began to, "Yeah, Daddy knows how to work on vehicles. Daddy knows how to do this. Daddy knows how to do that." And my family, my unit, picks me up. They're my neighbor.
Right.
The closest neighbor we have is our family.
Yes.
And listen to what I'm saying very, very closely. If you're not careful, the people you will take advantage of more than anybody else is your family. Because
right.
Your family love you. You know your family don't want you to do without. You know your family don't want you to suffer. So they're going to help you. Don't take advantage of that. Because in your flesh, you can get lazy. And not meaning to, be lazy. And then all of a sudden, your family's doing the sacrificing and the suffering. And you're over here just fumbling through life. My boy Dylan is going through an oppression right now. And forgive me, son, I'm going to put it up here. He is under a battle. He didn't do anything wrong. My boy is in a battle. His car, we were just bragging about how good it was, how good it's been running. And that thing at meeting on Sunday, or Monday morning, he texted me and said, "Daddy," he said, "can you call me when you can?" Absolutely. Called him up. He said, "It broke down. I don't know what's going on with it." I said, "Sir, son, I'll be there." I think number one for a parent is you parents will be there. Don't take advantage of that. Parents will be there for you. And I worked all day, and he said, "Daddy, I don't want you to have to come. Let me try to fix this by myself." And I appreciated that. I go up there to be with my son. I said, "Okay, let's try to figure this thing out." And it threw the timing. And I just don't have time to work on it. And he don't either. I said, "You know what? You're in this problem. You're in this midst. I'm right here with you, son. I'll pay half of it. I ain't going to pay all of it. I'll pay half of it." And I heard him take a deep breath. He said, "Daddy, I appreciate it." He said, and he called me back or texted me back last night. He said, "Daddy," he said, "I want you to know, if I ever seem aggravated," he said, "I don't mean that toward you." He said, "I was just so stressed out." He said, "I just didn't know what I was going to do." I said, "Son, don't even worry about it. I have been there." I'm saying this, brother, sister, we love one another. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Our family loves one another. It's real easy if we're not careful that we take advantage of one another.
Mm-hmm.
We need to live for one another. We need to treat each other the way we want to be treated.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I believe that we're praying and believing that they'll get this car fixed pretty quickly, and he'll be back. And Malachi will have his car back. There's a mystery. Did you catch that mystery? Malachi lost his car. Let's all stand. Again, I didn't get half of what I wanted to say, but I don't want to. I'm way on overtime, and I forgive you. I forgive you for it. You forgive me, right? I say this with all the humility that I possibly can, and please listen to these words I'm saying. I know I probably said some things tonight that probably hurt. It called me, and it could possibly try to ruffle feathers. Please receive it with meekness, the way the scripture says, because I want you to be blessed. I do. I love you. And brother and sister, I'm going in rapture.
Amen.
I'm going. How about you?
Amen.
Absolutely. And I'm claiming you.
Amen.
But I can claim you all I want to, but you've got to be the one that gets your garments ready.
Right.
You've got to be the one that makes things right. Me and Brother Tony can preach this as hard as we can, as straight as we can, and we do. We do our very best. And forgive us if you feel like we're slacking, because we don't mean to be. And anytime we say something, I'm closing, but I want to get this out here. There's some time you hear us say things that seems cutting. Don't you think for a second that we go home and say, "Boy, I sure blessed them."
That's right.
You should walk with us home that night.
That's right.
And you'll see, it's just like whenever you whoop your child. Sometimes you have to do that. It absolutely breaks your heart.
Yeah.
But you have to do it because you've got somewhere you want them to get to.
Amen.
And brother and sister, we've got somewhere that we want to get you to.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see you have a fruitful life where you've got joy, peace, and long-suffering in your marriage. Let's just bow our heads. But Tony gets ready to come forward. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. I love these people, Lord. I love them. Lord, and the old devil, he was trying to fight me before service of saying, we just ain't got nobody here. But I knew it was him talking. It wasn't you talking, Lord. But Lord, I felt it whenever those keys began to strike. And me too, I was thinking I wouldn't mind if Hannah sung two songs tonight. And sure enough, she got up there and sung two songs. And it just broke that old heaviness, that old cold spirit that tried to come upon this old church, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Holy Spirit leadership in this church. Thank you for laying it on her heart to follow that, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, each of us, that we can strive for that Holy Spirit leadership. Lord God, that when we can avoid a lot of the battles that we fight, Lord, just by following your Spirit, Lord. Lord, I ask you, God, bless this church, Lord. Bless the families, the marriages, God, that are struggling, Lord, if they are being. Lord, if there's a relationship with kids, if they're struggling with their relationship with father and children or mother and their children, God, I ask you, help us, Lord. We want to be blessed, Lord. And we read the scripture of your word tonight. This is how we can be blessed. It's whenever we hear your word and we're a doer of it. And we're not a forgetful hearer of it, but we take the word that we've heard and we meditate upon it. Lord, I ask you, Lord, walk the aisle, walk the living rooms, Lord, the bedrooms, wherever they may be. I ask you, Lord, search our hearts tonight, Lord. And Lord God, put that fire in the young people, Lord. Put that fire in the old people, God. Of that something inside them that causes them to want to consecrate themselves to you and your Spirit. Help us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I sure pray you got something out of it tonight.
Amen.
Now you know, when you have something you've watched and there's part two, and you're sad that you're having to wait for part two, but Brother Daniel, there's part two, right?
Yes.
Amen. He doesn't let the cat out of the bag. There's part two. Amen. If the Lord will allow him to do that, I'd like to hear the rest of what he had to say.
Yeah.
Absolutely refreshing. Good.
Yeah.
I appreciate everything Brother Daniel had to say tonight. You know, the gospel is a simple gospel. The scripture said, don't be beguiled of the simplicity that's in the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, Satan wants to make it complicated. People make it complicated. But it's simple. But it becomes complicated when you don't obey it.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is not bondage when you're in love.
That's right.
If you're in love, it's not being married is not bondage if you're in love.
Right.
And this word is not bondage if you're in love.
Right.
And so I really appreciate everything that Brother Daniel had to say tonight. And he's right. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and I'd get a whipping, and they would say to me, this hurts me more than it does you. And as a kid, I thought that was the stupidest thing. There's no way in the world. I don't, you know. But I will tell you, now as a parent, you know.
Yes.
Right? You know. But it's the same way when you're a preacher of the gospel.
Yeah.
And you have to say things that you know. But you listen, Brother Branham said, if I see somebody in a boat, laying back asleep in a boat, and they're going down, and they're headed toward the waterfall, he said, are you just going to say, well, John, I kind of think you might need to... He said, no. He said, I will go out there and nearly jerk them out of the boat if I have to get there. When you see them headed somewhere where it's dangerous, you see something going on in their life that you know is going to hurt them, he said, I will nearly jerk them out of the boat if I can to get their attention. And sometimes your ministry has to do that. Sometimes they have to feel like that they're going out there because we know what the Lord is preaching. We know where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
We know this. And when you see people not taking that and doing anything with it, being a hearer of the word but not a doer of it, then it makes you feel like that you've got to go out there and jerk them out of the boat. Right? So, but it's back to what I said Sunday. We cannot pick the way out of the shell. You've got to do that. And when we see people not picking them away, when they're not taking this sword and fighting their battles, then it makes us feel like we've got to be a little bit firmer about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way it works. But so if tonight, if you were sitting here listening to this, and you were listening to Brother Daniel, like, oh yeah, that's Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so, they need to hear that, you've done wrong.
That's right.
Because the Word of God is a mirror.
Amen.
And you do not use a mirror to try to look at somebody else.
That's right.
If I want to look at you, I look straight at you.
That's right.
But if I want to see myself, I have to look in the mirror.
Yes.
And that's what Brother Rick said, this word. And so if tonight you're like, yeah, that was so-and-so. No, what you should have been hearing tonight is, that's me.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, that's me.
Amen.
That's where I need to tighten up. That's what I need to do.
Yes.
That's what should, and if it's working right, that's what you heard. And I will tell you, I'm only asking some people, did you stream it? Did you listen to this? If you didn't, you go back and do it. Because I want them to hear this. Because these things are true. Of what Brother Daniel said tonight. So, amen. We just really appreciate what God did and said. So, we're in a battle. But this battle is going to be over.
Yes.
One of these days. I don't know what page number it is, but when the battle's over, we shall wear our crown. We shall wear our crown. Yes, we shall wear our crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear our crown in that good old Jerusalem. Yes, wear a crown. Wear a crown.
We should.